Penguin Random House Audio presents Glassheart, The Secrets of Eden Eld, Book 3, by Kate Alice Marshall. Read for you by Keeler Lee. The Tale of the Bracken Beast. Once upon a time, there lived three children, born on Halloween, who were cursed to be turned into a magical key by the dreadful people who look away, led by Mr. January. This key would open the door to their wicked realm and unleash its horrors upon the world. But these three children, Eleanor, Pip, and Otto, were bold and clever and persistent, and they escaped Mr. January on Halloween night. They could have saved themselves for good, but they knew Mr. January would only find other victims. So instead, they made a bargain. He and his two sisters would each have one more chance to capture the children. If they failed, they would have to give up their scheme forever. The first sister came for them with tricks and potions and beasts of mushrooms and mud. In her realm of bones and endless muck, the children found a new ally, Jack, a man possessed by the strange power of a prime story. Three stories there were, tales that could take a person over, erasing their memories and all they'd been. The Warrior, the World Walker, and the Hedge Witch. Once, Jack had another name. Once, he'd had another life. Now, nothing but Jack remained. Eleanor was shocked to learn that Jack was her father, and devastated to discover that her mother, possessed by the story of the Hedge Witch, had lost all memory of her. And the stories weren't done stealing people from her, for the story of the Warrior was through with Jack. It slipped from him to Pip. And as its power overtook her, she began slowly to change. Once more, Eleanor, Pip, and Otto defeated the people who look away, but at a cost. For now Pip bore the Warrior's story, and it was beginning to unwrite her to make room for itself. Eleanor and the others could only wait for Mr. January's second sister to come for them. But then they received an unexpected visitor, the World Walker, who came with a warning. 1. Eleanor Barton had just asked her aunt to pass the marshmallows when a fairy tale walked across the back lawn. Eleanor froze, staring out the kitchen window at the tall, dark-haired woman as she lifted her hands, motes of light drifting around her like stars. There was a moment of perfect stillness, and then she began to weave the moonlight around her in a flowing dance. This was, Eleanor thought, extremely inconvenient. "Something wrong?" Eleanor's aunt, Jenny, asked with a troubled little frown, Minnie marshmallow bag still extended. Jenny and her husband, Ben, were not exactly aware that for the past several days, a woman out of a fairy tale had been staying in their house. Not just any woman, the girl with backward hands, heroine of a number of the stories in 13 Tales of the Grey. Her name was Wander, which was all she'd managed to tell Eleanor and her friends before she declared herself weary and fell asleep for 4 solid days. "Nothing's wrong," Eleanor said quickly. Luckily, Aunt Jenny and Uncle Ben were sitting with their backs to the kitchen window, but Naomi, Eleanor's 7-month-old cousin, giggled madly, pudgy hands stretched toward the window. At least this meant Wander was awake. "You can talk to us, you know," Ben said. "I realize we're totally uncool adults, but we're pretty smart." Jenny and Ben had been trying to turn hot cocoa night into tell us your problems night for months, but Eleanor couldn't exactly break it to them that her problems were less homework is hard and more immortal bad guys are trying to capture me and my friends so they can get home to their freaky evil world. "Everything is fine," Eleanor assured them, just as Jack, her father, strode across the lawn. He gestured frantically at Wander. Wander dropped her hands, and the moonlight trailed to the ground with a sound like a violin bow sighing across the strings. Jenny started to turn to see what had made the noise. In a second, Jenny was going to see Wander, and while most people couldn't see magical things properly or remember them once they had, that forgetfulness came at a price. Just this past spring, mud monsters had attacked the house and kidnapped Ben. Afterward, Jenny had migraines for over a month, and Ben still woke up with nightmares, even though they didn't remember any of it. Eleanor thought frantically. She needed to distract them. "How do you know if you like someone?" she blurted out. Jenny's head whipped back around. "Do you have a crush, Ellie Belly?" she asked. "You haven't called me that since I was 4, Eleanor complained, cheeks turning red hot. "And no, or maybe, I don't know." It had just been the first thing she could think of. She didn't have time for crushes, for feelings of any kind, really, other than dread and anticipation over what the people who look away would try next to snatch up her and her friends. "Who is he? Or she? They?" Ben asked. His eyes narrowed. "What are their future prospects, career-wise? Can they pass a background check? Can they change a tire?" "Uncle Ben, I'm 13. No one my age can change a tire," Eleanor said, rolling her eyes. "And there aren't any criminal masterminds at my school." Jack was herding the reluctant Wander away from the house. They were almost out of sight. Naomi gabbled and waved. Eleanor popped a cheesy puff into her hand, and Naomi shrieked in delight, momentarily distracted.
"Is it that kid who was helping you with that language arts project? What was his name? Andy?"
Jenny asked as Naomi slammed the cheesy puff enthusiastically against the table.
"He was super sweet, and cute too, if I'm not mistaken."
Andy Park was sweet and cute. It was true. And he had sort of asked Eleanor to the spring dance, though she'd turned him down because she and Otto were spending the evening experimenting with a spell for locating lost objects. They weren't sure if it had worked, since it had led them to an expired membership card for something called Blockbuster under the back seat of Ben's truck, which, while certainly lost, was not precisely missed.
"What about what's-her-face who always waves when I pick you up?" Jenny asked. "Mabel, wasn't it? She's very pretty."
"She's not just pretty, she's also super smart," Eleanor put in quickly, because people always assumed Mabel's qualities ended at her expert use of lip gloss. Jenny and Ben gave each other knowing looks, and Eleanor dropped her head into her hands, groaning. This had been a terrible idea. Now they were going to think she had a crush on Mabel, or Andy, and she didn't have a crush at all, because she didn't have time for crushes, and she was probably completely doomed and wasn't going to live to see 14 anyway, so what was even the point? As Jenny and Ben debated the relative strengths of her suitors, as Ben instantly dubbed them, Jack appeared at the kitchen door, looking out of breath.
"Hey, Jack," Eleanor chirped. "How's it going?"
"Everything is under control for the time being," he said, his voice layered with meaning. He probably thought he was being subtle. Subtle was not Jack's strong suit. It wasn't really his fault. For the past 40 years, he'd been kind of a fairy tale himself. He even looked a lot like a fairy tale, though he'd traded his fantasy world clothes and sword for t-shirts and jeans. He had wavy blonde hair that fell around his shoulders and a neatly trimmed beard, and since the story had left him, his eyes had turned from slate gray to a startling bright blue.
"I left your cocoa on the stove," Jenny said, standing.
He waved her back to her seat.
"Please don't trouble yourself. Actually, I am afraid I must miss out on hot cocoa night and steal my daughter away as well. There is something we need to discuss."
Jenny and Ben gave each other a look, the kind that's really a whole conversation. They were still Eleanor's legal guardians, partly because Jack wasn't legally real at all, and partly because Eleanor had only known him for a few months. Before she and Pip had rescued
Sample complete. Ready to continue?